WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with breaking news. Two sources confirmed to CBS 90-year-old Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. Correspondent Tom Foti.
Dianne Feinstein started in local politics.
I was mayor of San Francisco for 9 years.
Before moving on to the U.S. Senate in 1992.
Mrs. Feinstein, aye.
The California Democrat took up many causes, including gun laws. Then Senator Joe Biden credited her leadership in sponsoring the 1994 federal assault weapons ban.
She went out and did something that was a product of an incredible amount of work.
But Feinstein's recent health problems and long Senate absences were too much for some members of her party. Congressman Ro Khanna saying she needed to resign before the end of her term.
She's representing 40 million people in California. We need someone who's going to be on top of the job.
Tom Foti, CBS News.
Once again, sources tell CBS News Congresswoman Dianne Feinstein has died at the age of 90. A day and a half to go, and lawmakers on Capitol Hill are still struggling to pass spending bills to avoid a government shutdown, with Republicans in the House divided. If the lights do go out in D.C., CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says tens of thousands of government workers will be sidelined.
They'll either get furloughed or they'll be forced to come into work and not get paid. That could be up to 1 million people. Getting through an airport could be hard. Getting a passport could be hard.
The two-week-old United Auto Workers strike, as we wait to hear from Union President Sean Fain next hour, could be expanded. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert from Detroit.
Striking SUV plants would increase the pressure. Taking out engine plants would impact other assembly plants. And then there's the nuclear option.
Is this the time to take out the pickup plants?
I don't know if it's time to take out the pickup truck plants, because that starts to immediately hurt everybody's pocketbook.
Cornell labor expert Art Wheaton does not expect Ford to be spared this time as it was last week, because he doesn't think they're making the progress that the UAW expects. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
CBS News has learned high-powered Republicans unimpressed with the current crop of GOP presidential candidates have their eyes on a new possibility. Correspondent Robert Costa.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, a Republican, is being recruited to make a late entry now into the 2024 Republican presidential race. He's being recruited by billionaires like Thomas Perfetti and by former Attorney General Bill Barr and many others.
Again, our top story, 90-year-old Congresswoman Dianne Feinstein has died. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate's Sporting Heritage Committee voted against confirming four of Governor Tony Evers' appointees to the Department of Natural Resources Policy Board. The Republican-controlled committee voted 3-2 against confirmation for each appointee. Much of the questions and contentions revolved around the agency's wolf management plan, which does not include a hard population cap. The current wolf management plan caps the number of wolves in the state at 350. Criminal defendants in Wisconsin could face much steeper bail payments thanks to a new bill in the state legislature. Yesterday, state senators heard testimony on the bill, which would require a judge to set bail at $5,000 or more when a defendant has a previous conviction for bail jumping. The requirement would apply for even nonviolent misdemeanor charges. Bail jumping is among the most commonly charged offenses in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check!
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me
man, some warning words, some warning words of wisdom from about, 55, 60 years ago. It's music from Barry McGuire. Yeah, the Eve of Destruction. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8.5 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And the next topic that I'd like to get to on this Friday morning is environmental information, climate change. I have a story here from the Cap Times, captimes.com. It says, on climate change, even talking about it helps, Wisconsin experts say. Climate change is a global problem, so it can feel daunting to try to combat it as one person living in one city in Wisconsin. But panelists in a Cap Times Idea Fest virtual session tried to make tackling climate change on an individual scale a bit less paralyzing. In What Can I Do to Combat Climate Change, the Cap Times convened a panel of leaders working to address the issue locally. From investing in solar panels, to weatherizing your home, to taking the bus, or just talking with your neighbors. The advocates shared a variety of ways each person can take steps to live greener. In Wisconsin, climate change will be most noticeable through changes in weather, Maria Redmond said. Wisconsinites are already noticing periods of high heat, severe flooding, and reduced air quality from wildfires. Redmond is the director of the Wisconsin Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy. She leads the implementation of the state's first ever clean energy plan. A lot of people support action, Redmond said. The state agency wants to be a resource for people looking to make smart environmental choices, Redmond said. If Wisconsinites have questions about how to get started, she encouraged folks to email OSBE, OSBE@wisconsin.gov to get answers and learn more. All right. If you, as a Wisconsinite, have questions about how to get started living a greener life, she is encouraging you to email OSBE@wisconsin.gov to get answers and learn more. Susan Miller is an anthropologist and a volunteer leader with 350 Wisconsin. That's a grassroots group working to halt climate change. Miller said she's noticed that a lot of people are experiencing climate anxiety. The problem can seem so overwhelming. Finding community and taking action can stave off that anxiety, Miller said. Working with your friends and neighbors to make change helps address those feelings of, gee, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything, Miller said. So some possibilities you might want to consider are planting trees and making sure your tires are inflated to the proper inflation rate or pounds per square inch. And also there are some other low-cost ideas. It says here, Christina Carvajal is the founder and executive director of Wisconsin Ecolatinos, a nonprofit that aims to help the Latino community combat environmental hazards. She reminded attendees how the effects of climate change can be distributed unevenly. I have been an environmental advocate all my life, and I saw how pollution affects people of color, minorities, disadvantaged communities in a greater proportion than others, Carvajal said. Although it might seem obvious or too simplistic, planting trees can go a long way in helping our environment, Carvajal said. Trees can reduce pollution. They can reduce the effect of urban heat islands, and they can beautify neighborhoods too, she said. That's a very easy action for individuals to take. Carvajal concurred with the panel that clean energy is part of the climate change solution. Even if the cost of solar panels and electric cars puts them out of reach for some people, there are things that can be done. If you can't get an electric car, you can look for a car that has high fuel efficiency. You can also do the trick of maintaining your tires and keeping them well inflated, Carvajal said. It is basic, but it's amazing that it adds up. You know, it saves fuel. There also are small changes people can make at home that reduce their environmental impact. Miller took the steps to make her own home efficient, and it's now 100% electric. There's no better thing than calling MG&E and saying, would you please turn off my gas? What's the problem? Not a problem, just please turn off my gas. I'm not using it anymore, Miller recalled, so that was fun. Miller recommends accessing the Inflation Reduction Act programs that provide funding to help offset the cost of weatherizing your home. If you're not a homeowner, Miller emphasized the importance of using mass transit, walking, or biking to reduce motor vehicle use. And you can save money and emissions in your home. Stephen Cavill operates Madison Home Performance, a company that provides energy audits for those looking to make their homes more energy efficient. He admits he became passionate about energy efficiency by first improving his own 1950s home in Madison. I wasn't thinking about others. I was thinking about myself. I was thinking about my pocketbook, Cavill said. After air sealing and insulating his home, Cavill cut his electricity use by 45% and reduced gas use by 50%. He knew he was on to something. I kind of drank the Kool-Aid, got super excited, and then I started a business doing this and helping people make their homes more safe, more comfortable, more durable, and more energy efficient, Cavill said. Some of the best environmental changes people can make are the cheapest, he said. Brand new windows or an electric car can certainly help reduce your carbon footprint, but there are less flashy ways to get started, like weatherizing your home. It's not glamorous, but that's where you're going to get huge payback, and that's where you're going to lower the heating and cooling needs of your home, Cavill said. The state is doing its part in combating climate change as well, Redmond said. In 2022, her office published the state's first clean energy plan. We created this blueprint of actionable strategies that the state can take to deploy more clean energy technology, optimize energy efficiency, innovate in transportation, and to upgrade and update our buildings and industry, Redmond said. The state can also assist people in getting connected with tax breaks and other incentives for environmental efforts, she said. The federal government has been really pushing out a lot of funding and opportunities, so we want to bring as much of that money to Wisconsin as possible, Redmond said. In addition to federal funding for individual environmental investments, the state is developing a Green Innovation Fund to help folks finance the upfront costs to energy-efficient infrastructure. One of the most powerful things people can do to live greener is share information, Cavill said. If you learn how to reduce your carbon footprint, pass it on. Then this thing can just become a tree and blossom, and we can get the word out about this stuff, Cavill said. So there's some information for you about how to live a greener life. And early in that article, I gave you an email address to write to in case you had any questions. I'll go back to that right now before we take our break. It says, if Wisconsinites have questions about how to get started, she encouraged folks to email OSBE. OSBE is an Edward at wisconsin.gov to get answers and learn more. 9:18 right now, going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniel Show.
Bend, little willow, wind's gonna blow you hot and cold tonight. Life as it happens, nobody warns you, willow, hold on tight. Nothing's gonna shake your love, take your love away. No one's out to break your heart, it only seems that way.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south to southeast at around 15 to 25. Could see a few scattered thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Our low 63. Tomorrow, a thunderstorm in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy. 81 on Sunday, partly cloudy, with a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Once there were green fields kissed by the sun. Once there were valleys where rivers used to run. Once there were blue skies with white clouds high above. Once they were part of an everlasting love. We were the lovers who strove. Are gone now, parched by the sun, gone from the valleys where rivers used to run, gone with the cold wind that swept into my heart, gone with the lovers who let their dreams depart. Where are the green fields that we used to roam? I'll never know what made you run away. How can I keep searching when dark clouds hide the day? This wide world left for me to see, but I'll keep on waiting till you return. I'll keep on waiting until the day you learn. You can't be happy while your heart's on the roam. You can't be happy until you bring it home.
All right. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:23 right now, almost 9:24. And we've got 59 degrees in Richland Center right now with mostly cloudy skies. Eau Claire has 60 degrees with cloudy skies. And we were discussing the environment, the climate change that's going on. I have a story here from Wisconsin Watch about the environment and the Mississippi River. The fact that with all of the drought that's going on, not only in Wisconsin, but other places up and down the river, they're experiencing now serious issues with shipping on the Mississippi River. The headline here from a piece just posted today: Mississippi River's historic high and low water levels vex the shipping industry. It says here, on a typical day, Pete Ciara Mataro monitors towboats from his Memphis, Tennessee office as they carry cargo up and down the Mississippi River. Ciara Mataro is the director of river operations for the shipping company Southern Duval, which transports chemicals and fertilizers along the Mississippi River. He advises captains on how to safely navigate river conditions, warning them of traffic and other obstacles ahead, which can vary greatly along the waterway. But right now, there's one consistent condition along the length of the river, and that is drought. The Mississippi River has reached near historic lows for the second year in a row, which is slowing down shipping and driving up costs for everyone, from barge companies to grain elevators. In some places, last year was the lowest the Mississippi River had fallen in nearly 35 years. Much of the basin is experiencing extreme drought again this year. Unfortunately, we are watching a movie sequel that none of us want to watch, said Mike Steenhoek, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. What once may have seemed unbelievable is becoming more frequent on America's watery superhighway, and it's happening even earlier this year. With climate change, it looks like it's going to be an annual thing now, Ciara Mataro said. Speed is always critical in the shipping industry, but these low water conditions have come at a particularly inopportune time of year, the harvest season. It's the worst possible time to be dealing with a bottleneck, said Jennifer Carpenter, president and CEO of the American Waterways Operators, an advocacy group for the shipping industry. Just as farmers are starting to harvest crops like corn and soybeans, the barge companies tasked with carrying their products downriver for global export are up against low water. About 60% of the country's grain exports are shipped down the Mississippi River, but the water has to be at least 9 feet deep for vessels to travel safely. Otherwise, they can run aground on sandbars and cause a traffic jam like last fall, when more than 2,000 barges were at a standstill. Carpenter said grappling with weather and climate is par for the course in her industry, but more frequent swings between high and low river conditions are undeniable. We have to assume that's the new normal, she said. If the same thing were to happen next year, how would we be better prepared? The whole industry is grappling with that question. 928 right now, going to take a break. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. We got confirmation last half hour. California's 90-year-old Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
A fixture here in Washington and a fixture in her home city of San Francisco, where she took over as mayor after a political assassination in that city. When she got here to the U.S. Senate, During the Year of the Woman in 1992, she eventually took over as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the powerful, pivotal Senate Judiciary Committee, which confirmed Supreme Court justices. She was the first woman to hold that position.
Feinstein served 31 years in the Senate, longer than any other woman in history. She'd been under increasing pressure to resign after she was hospitalized in February with shingles and required a wheelchair to get around when she returned to work in May. Republican Senator Tom Tillis posting to X, Feinstein lived an incredible life dedicated to public service. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Legislature's LGBTQ plus caucus has outright condemned legislation introduced to ban gender-affirming care for children in the state, calling the measure cruel. The caucus argued that every major medical organization, including the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics, attests that gender-affirming care is safe, medically necessary, and saves lives. The bill is likely to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. Bipartisan proposals in the Wisconsin state legislature would make it a felony to attack an election worker. Public testimony was heard on the proposed bills this week. Civil servants have faced increased threats and harassment since the 2020 presidential election, which former President Donald Trump still claims was rigged. The bills would give election workers access to whistleblower protections and make information about them private to protect them from backlash. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Keep on playing.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Friday morning at 9:35, 9:36 now. And before the break, we were discussing the river, the Mississippi River. Before I get back to that, let me give you some updated temperatures. Amory right now, 60 degrees with rain. And in Hayward, cloudy skies and 61 degrees. So just before the break, I was going over a story from Wisconsin Watch about the fact that the Mississippi River is having some big issues right now because of drought and flooding extremes. That's what happens with climate change, right? So I was to the point in this story that was just posted today at Wisconsin Watch about the river, the changing river. The Mississippi River actually drains about 40% of the country, spanning more than a million square miles. So drought anywhere in that footprint can lead to downriver impacts. And by the way, I should mention that if you have any comments on what we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And you can also, if you want to, send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. Getting back to the story at Wisconsin Watch, it says back-to-back years of extreme drought support what research suggests. Climate change is making both floods and droughts more common and more intense. Current drought is a stark contrast to the upper river just a few months ago when near historic flooding shut down several locks and dams and barges couldn't transport cargo. Higher temperatures increase evaporation, causing drought, but warm air can also hold more moisture, leading to heavy downpours. Even when there are regional downpours, that water doesn't always make it to the river. Mike Welvert, a National Weather Service hydrologist based near Minneapolis, said drought can exacerbate that problem. We're so far behind normal that we just can't catch up, Welvert said. The state of Louisiana has also declared a state of emergency as low river levels allow salt water to intrude up from the Gulf of Mexico, threatening the drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. Some stretches of the Mississippi River were already nearing record lows by mid-September after an early persistent drought swept through much of the country. Barge companies are announcing load restrictions, lower water stages are being exceeded in multiple cities, and short-term relief is frankly uncertain at this point, said Mitch Reynolds, mayor of La Crosse, at a gathering of Mississippi River mayors in mid-September. That coalition, the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, has requested more comprehensive national drought policies, which the mayors say are critical to the future of navigation on the waterway, the Mississippi River. They brought policy proposals to the federal National Drought Resilience Partnership on September 26th, including compensating farmers for drought adaptations, creating watershed-scale management policies, and awarding federal funds to drought-stricken states. Colin Wellenkamp, executive director of the Mayoral Coalition, said their recommendations were positively received. While there are plenty of long-term fixes to consider, Wellenkamp said federal disaster relief is crucial in the short term. In the absence of rainfall to replenish the river and its tributaries, shippers are forced to cut back on the amount of cargo they load onto each barge. Lighter barges are less likely to have trouble on their journey down a low river. In some places, shippers are being forced to put 15% less cargo on each vessel. A towboat pushes a string of barges along the river, but it's harder to maneuver down the narrower channel of a lower level river, so each towboat has to push fewer barges at a time. That means less cargo in each barge and fewer barges in each tow, creating a logistical nightmare as shippers and vessels vie for limited space. Sierra Mataro's fleet mostly carries chemicals and fertilizers, which are lighter than dry cargo, so restrictions haven't impacted them in the same way as barges carrying things like corn or soybeans. But they're still bearing the brunt of more expensive freight rates and delayed traffic. You don't know who's going to run aground next, or how long the dredge is going to have to channel, or how long the dredge is going to have the channel closed, Sierra Mataro said. Typically, barges are the most efficient way to transport large amounts of cargo. One barge carries the same amount as 35 train cars or 134 semi-trucks. But current restrictions combined with potential traffic make barges slower and more expensive. Shippers are being told to expect up to three-day delays, and rates have doubled for barges leaving from Memphis and St. Louis compared to the three-year average. Farmers can opt to transport their crops using trucks or trains. In some cases, it may be cheaper than current barge rates for some farmers, but it's still more expensive than a typical harvest season. What farmers were reminded of last year, and this is only going to be reiterated this year, is the importance of having options B, C, and D, said Steenhoek of the Soy Transportation Council. To make the river navigable, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers routinely dredges the Mississippi River, removing sediment and debris from the riverbed and making the navigation channel deep enough for barges. But periods of intense drought require more dredging. After last year's low, the Corps' Mississippi Valley Division said in a statement that it started work earlier this year, dredging at known hotspots that need more frequent maintenance as early as mid-June, and contracting extra dredges. In dire situations, the Corps can also release water from upstream reservoirs to replenish the waterway. The Corps' research budget, which hit historic highs this year, could be used to improve forecasting for inland waterways and better predict future drought impacts. Whatever the industry does to combat drought, dredging, and special water releases to make the river navigable, or adjusting how and where they transport cargo, will have far-reaching impacts. Consumers will eventually absorb some of the costs. The drought is also hurting crop production, which hurts other agricultural sectors. The whole economy will be feeling the ripple effects, said Angela Antipova, a professor and transportation studies researcher at the University of Memphis. The industry is eyeing long-term fixes like improving vessels, investing in better predictive software, expanding dredging, and updating aging infrastructure, although the question of who should pay for those updates is still up in the air. But there are existing frameworks that can guide the industry through tumult, said Craig Phillip, a civil engineering research professor at Vanderbilt University and the former president and CEO of Ingram Barge. Phillip was one of the industry officials who helped decades ago to create the U.S. Coast Guard and Army Corps' waterways action plans, which are contingency plans to keep traffic moving during extreme conditions on the Mississippi River. 9:45 right now. Going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Someone told me long ago there's a calm before. When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south to southeast at around 15 to 25. Could see a few scattered thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Our low 63. Tomorrow, a thunderstorm in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy. 81 on Sunday, partly cloudy, with a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Now I taught the weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky, and the tears that I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it tore me up every time I heard her drawl, southern drawl. Then I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport, and I followed you, big river, when you called. Then you took me to St. Louis later on down the river. A freighter said she's been here, but she's gone, boy, she's gone. I found her trail in Memphis, but she just walked up the bluff. She raised a few eyebrows and then she went on down alone. Now won't you bat it down by Baton Rouge, River Queen, roll it on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. Go on, I've had enough, dump my blues down in the Gulf. She loves you, big river, more than me.
Oh yeah, it's Big River, Johnny Cash, 9:52, Friday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We have 64 degrees in La Crosse right now under mostly cloudy skies. Richland Center has 60 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And we've been discussing the Big River, Mississippi, issues moving up and down the river for the barges that are carrying all kinds of goods. And the problem is the extreme weather issues, the droughts and the floods. And no matter where you're at, if you're on the river or if you're anyplace else in the United States, you got to know that climate change, global warming, is having an effect. You can see it all around us. It's not all doom and gloom, though. There are things we can do, as we were talking about earlier. There are things you can do in your everyday life. But also, we as a nation can do things. I have a story here from Inside Climate News at insideclimatenews.org with a headline, and this is from last week, September 20th. Headline says, Biden finds funds to launch an American Climate Corps with existing authority Congress has given to agencies. A New Deal-style climate jobs program, enormously popular with young voters, never got needed support directly from Congress. This piece posted on the 20th of this month, which was last Wednesday, just over a week ago. Going to give you a little bit about this organization that the president is putting together. It says, on a week, last week, when tens of thousands of people took to the streets ahead of the United Nations General Assembly to renew calls for climate action, President Biden revived one of the most popular platforms of his original plan for tackling the crisis. The White House announced Wednesday, last week Wednesday, it was launching the American Climate Corps, seeking to put more than 20,000 young people to work in clean energy and climate resilience jobs, particularly in communities of color. As a candidate in 2020, Biden pledged to create such a New Deal-style public works program as an integral part of his Build Back Better program of tackling the struggling economy and climate change at the same time. But his original $2 trillion agenda had to be greatly scaled back to make it through Congress, particularly to win the vote of Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from the fossil fuel reliant state of West Virginia, who wanted to spend far less. A provision for a $10 billion civilian climate corps was jettisoned on the way to what became Biden's signature climate legislation last year, the Inflation Reduction Act, known as the IRA. Although all of the details were not immediately available, including total anticipated funding, Biden's new American Climate Corps appears to pull together workplace development funding that has been scattered throughout previous legislation, including the record $370 billion spending on the clean energy transition included in the Inflation Reduction Act. For example, the Department of Energy's existing career skills training program announced a new $10 million in grants for students to receive classroom instruction and on-the-job training for certification in installing energy-efficient building technologies. And the AmeriCorps Community Service Program, which marks its 30th anniversary this year, launched a five-year, $15 million initiative with the U.S. Forest Service to engage young adults in wildland fire prevention, reforestation, and other natural and cultural resource management projects. The program is expected to employ 80 people aged 18 to 26, providing them with compensation packages equivalent to $15 an hour, including lodging, transportation, and other benefits. Other areas where the White House aims to deploy Climate Corps participants are bolstering community resilience, deploying clean energy, and advancing environmental justice, the White House said in a prepared release. The Biden administration also is relying on states and the private sector to round out the Climate Corps, in addition to the five states that already had their own Climate Corps programs: California, Colorado, Maine, Michigan, and Washington. The White House announced that five new states, Arizona, Utah, Minnesota, North Carolina, and Maryland, were moving forward with state-based Climate Corps funded through public-private partnerships. All of those states are led by Democratic governors, except for Utah, where Republican Governor Spencer Cox has, in the past year, had to deal with unprecedented drought and water shortages. State and local governments and utilities throughout the West are in need of personnel to help address infrastructure woes that are increasingly acute due to climate change. 9:58 right now. Got to wrap it up for today. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a great weekend. Do something nice for someone today, and I'll see you back here on Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong. Oh, yeah. Where I belong.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.